Be uplifted, be inspired. This is Step Forward and Volunteer, a podcast from Lions Club's British Isles.
Hello everyone, welcome to the 9th episode of Step Forward and Volunteer, a podcast brought to you by Lions Club's British Isles. My name is Romilly Broad and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. If you haven't listened before, our aim is simple. We want to celebrate the positive difference volunteering makes to communities across the British Isles and beyond. To do that, we'll be speaking to those who give up their time to help others, inspiring more people to step forward and volunteer. This month on the podcast, I welcome Budley Salterton Lion Richard Allen, who joins to tell us all about the annual competition on Budley Beach in the southwest of England, where pebbles are used to create works of art that are then judged during Budley Gala Week. And we feature Linda Burns, a member of Dalbeattie Lions from the rural southwest of Scotland. Dalbeattie Lions have refurbished a number of benches on the Jubilee Path that takes in the picturesque coastline between the seaside villages of Rockcliffe and Kipford. But first, I have a favour to ask. Because this is a new podcast, we want your help in getting the word out there. Tell your family, tell your friends, and if you're a Lions member, why not let the other members of your club know about the podcast and how easy it is to listen? All you need to do is either go online to the website, www.lionsclubs.co, where you'll see a link to the podcast, or you can search for Step Forward and Volunteer on apps like Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. You can listen on demand or subscribe so that you never miss an episode. We publish a new programme on the second Wednesday of each month and we're really keen to spread the positivity and get as many people listening as we can. Now it's time to introduce our first guest. Richard Allen, president of Budley Salterton Lions down in Devon, is here to tell us about the fun on Budley Beach, where pebbles are used to create tall towers and beach art during one of the most popular events of the annual calendar. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Could you start by telling us a little bit about Gala Week and what people do in a pebble building competition and how that all came about?
Okay, so the Gala Week is a whole week of fundraising events and activities that Budley Salterton Lions Club puts on. We raise money for the club, but also we have lots of events where we facilitate other charities such as Hospice Care, Cats Protection League, the RNLI, all sorts of local charities. We give them the opportunity to hold their own events. We'll help them. And they can fundraise then directly for their own charity. But the idea is it's basically family fun for a week, and it's always the last week of May, so it covers the May Bank Holiday Monday.
This year's Gala Week was a return to form, because I think there had been a hiatus for predictable reasons, right?
Yes, that's right. We had to cancel two Gala Weeks due to the COVID pandemic. So it was a real welcome return this year. Everyone in the town was absolutely delighted that it was back on. And of course, we had lots of visitors to Budley Salterton, as it was such a lovely place on the Jurassic Coast. So everyone had lots of fun.
Brilliant.
The pebble building competition is one of my favourite fundraising events of the whole year. We're incredibly lucky to be in this position where we're on the coast and we have this beautiful pebble beach. The competition is held on Bank Holiday Monday, always in the last week of May. And it's been going for many, many years. And in fact, I asked Jeff Paver, who has been organising the competition since I joined the club, when did it start? He said he wasn't sure, but it has been going ever since he joined the club, which was 33 years ago. So it's a long running event. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And what does it involve?
Yeah. So initially it began as a competition to build the tallest tower from the pebbles on the beach. But a few years ago, we came up with the idea of having another competition with separate prizes for the best pebble design. And what we found is this was much more inclusive and meant a lot more people took part. So it was more successful. And then sometimes families who take part will split into two groups, and one group will build the tallest tower and the other group will make a design. So it's really good fun. One thing I would say is it has, as I said, it's been going for so long. I can't say how it originally came about, but the beauty of it is that it's relatively easy to organise and inexpensive. It involves whole families and lots of other people having fun and raising funds on our lovely beach.
Awesome. It sounds like a brilliant event for the family to take part in. And do you have themes, for example, that can spark creative minds when they get down to the beach?
Yeah, so this year we felt there could only be one theme, really. So it had to be Her Majesty the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, certainly for the design competition. And the standard was especially high, I have to say, this year, and it was very difficult for the judges to make their decision. We had some wonderful designs. People had really used their imagination to come up with some fantastic creations. We had pictures of the Queen, as you'd imagine, Buckingham Palace, the Union Jack, and of course, corgis. So it was all there.
Great.
There is this amazing array of different coloured pebbles on the beach. So it's lovely to see how creative people can be. But it definitely helps catches the judge's eye if the competitors use shells and seaweed, as well as the pebbles. And if anyone else is thinking of doing this competition, one tip is just immediately prior to judging, wet the pebbles, because it really makes the colours pop. So
that really is an insider's tip. So what kind of people do you think would normally take part in the pebble building competition?
Well, we really do get people of all ages. It's very much a family event, and it's highly competitive, it has to be said. We do get lots of chat and banter as the competition's taking place. Some local families have been taking part in the competition for years and years. They've grown up together and gone to school together, so they know each other well. But people are coming along now, and they were children when they originally took part, and now they're coming with their children and their parents. And so you've got three generations of people from the same family all having a great time on the beach together. And it's just lovely to see.
Brilliant. Do you actually, out of interest, do you get people coming from further afield than the local area?
We do, yeah, because we're obviously a seaside town and there are holiday camps nearby and holiday accommodation. People will come down onto Budley Seafront, and so we don't just get local people taking part, we also get visitors as well, which is great. And then you get people coming down from Exeter and places like that on a bank holiday Monday. So, you know, there's lots of scope to get numbers on the beach, really, and the more the merrier.
What happens, out of interest, what happens to these wonderful creations afterwards? Do they just remain on the beach, or?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question, actually. We see that as one of the benefits of this competition, is that it does leave an eye-catching and interesting legacy on the beach. As you can imagine, the towers, they don't tend to last too long because it's so much fun to knock them down. But with regard to the designs, they can often last all summer. And so both locals and visitors to the town can enjoy them as well. You know, like this year's designs are still on the beach today, so it's lovely.
Wow. And so do you need to get any special permissions or take any health and safety, you know, issues into mind when you're organising it?
You do. I think you need to speak to the relevant local authority or the council to make sure they're happy with what is being proposed. It sounds daft, but you should really check who owns the beach. Crown Estates is often the owner of the beach. And they don't tend to require permissions for things like beach cleaning, metal detecting, and this sort of thing. So it should be okay. But you must undertake a risk assessment, basically to ensure the health and safety of everyone taking part, obviously.
Yeah. And I would think there are all sorts of places around our glorious coastline that can take a lead from the sort of things you do. And I suppose you'd encourage Lions clubs around the coasts to give it a go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's such a fun event, both for the Lions themselves and for obviously the competitors. There are certain things that you need. and obviously the main thing is a pebble beach. But also you do need a sense of fun. And as with any Lions fundraising event, you do need a team of willing volunteers, but also good PR as well. We find when we promote it on Facebook and, you know, other social media, we do get more people turn up to these things. We always like to have the Lions gazebo set up on the seafront, and that's where the contestants can register. We have a contactless payment facility. But what's nice about being on the seafront is you get so many passers-by, it's an opportunity for the Lions to engage with people and potentially attract new members, of course, to the club.
Yeah. You mentioned that there was a lot of creativity on display around the Queen's Jubilee this year. Is there anywhere that people might ultimately be able to go and have a look at some photos and things to see what to have a look for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are some photos on our website, which is budleylions.com. But also you can look at our Facebook page and there'll be photos on there. So yeah, there's certainly some inspiration if you have a look at those places.
Brilliant. And I suppose a generally good tip for anyone at other Lions clubs listening to this is to use those things, websites, but especially Facebook. It's very easy. There's always a photo opportunity when Lions are getting involved, raising funds and organizing events. And there's nothing more useful than a couple of great photos to promote the event next year. So on that note, thanks very much for joining us today, and all the best with everything else that you've got going on for the rest of the year.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Richard, for sharing the fun to be had on Budley Beach with us. Now we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
Never miss an episode of Step Forward and Volunteer. Listen via www.lionsclubs.co or subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts.
In 2022, we've celebrated the Platinum Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II, of course. But Dalbeattie Lions are involved with a community service project that commemorates the Golden Jubilee of Queen Victoria in 1887, 135 years ago. The Jubilee Path, as it's known, is a short coastal trail that starts from the seaside village of Rockcliffe, which first became popular as a spot for relaxation and recreation in Victorian times, when many of the houses along the seafront were built. The path finishes in the popular sailing resort of Kipford. The short, beautiful walk of around 1 mile each way takes in breathtaking views across the bay. The land you walk through is managed by the National Trust for Scotland, and in the summer you'll see the flowering meadows alongside the path. Linda Burns from Dalbeattie Lions joins us now to tell us about the club's involvement in refurbishing the benches along the Jubilee Path.
I'll tell you how it is from my side. Coastal little towns, tiny little towns on the estuary that runs into the Solway itself. It's a little estuary. And there's two little coastal villages, Kipford and Rockcliffe. And they're joined up by this little path, a little koi path that was initiated by the National Trust. And the National Trust round here is organised at three. There's a National Trust training centre at Threave in Castle Douglas, which is 4 miles away. This little coastal path, the bottom half of it, one half of it, the coastal side, is owned by the National Trust, but the northern side of the path, the opposite side of the path, is owned by the Forestry Commission. Right. So it's a core path through both organisations, and it's a lovely walk covered in trees. It's all tree lined all the way. It's a very popular walk, and it was the first path that they did, the National Trust. And right. People that have passed away get benches put on this path. There's one every few hundred yards, and they get a name plaque put on, you know, to commemorate someone. It's up to the person that's had it installed to maintain it. The National Trust, they don't do anything with it once it's installed, and neither do the Forestry Commission. But both organisations are happy to install benches. But what happens is, more often than not, and people that are maintaining them either move away or they don't come from round here anyway, and they get neglected. Right. The benches, they were in a terrible state. Some are disintegrated completely altogether. So it was a suggestion at the club one day that perhaps that might be a good thing to do under the community service. So we got together, about five or six of us, and got everything, equipment that we needed. A local Dumfries hire and supply company gave us two sets of Makita drills and cleaning equipment, electrical, cordless electrical equipment, to clean the benches and everything. And we bought a really good quality stain, repaired them when we could, and we had new plaques made in stainless steel for the ones that had disintegrated. And we put new plaques on, kept all the old things like you would imagine. And they've been really, really so well received, we couldn't believe it. It was so well received by people in Dalbeattie, because it's a popular walk all round, really, with local people. People in Kitford and Rockcliffe really were pleased with what we did, so much so that we got asked to do a little lower path with three more benches. That's the next project for the benches.
Wow. So was there a reason that you thought, let's refurbish the ones that are there rather than just replacing them, which seems maybe simpler?
The Lions do have funding because we have a charity shop where we get our funding from to do things in the town. But we haven't got that much where we can keep replacing. Although we did replace one of them, one that was completely disintegrated because it was under trees and wet all the time. We did replace that one with a plastic one and had our Dalbeattie and District Lions Club name embedded in the bench. So everybody knows they've been refurbished. And I actually made some signs while we were refurbishing the benches to say that the Lions were refurbishing them, and it might be wet paint, you know. So we got feedback from that as well, because they knew who was doing it. We've got the money to refurbish by buying paint, and the hire and supplies, they let us have the cordless kit free of charge because we were a charity. They've been good with us, and they said they would do it again for the next three benches.
Yeah, how many benches are there, do you think, along the length of the walk?
I think there was 8 altogether.
Right. So you could... Is the aim to get to all of them, do you think?
Oh, yeah, we did them all on the core path, on the first original path. We did them all on there, and they're super and clean, and, you know, they're really good. So we just have these other three to finish off. And it's been very popular.
Great. And then that's job done for the next... how long does it last until you need to do it all again?
Well, that's the thing. It just depends how good the stain. It was a really good waterproof quality. It was expensive, the stain that we used to clean right. them up. It should last about 5 or 6 years, perhaps, I don't know. We'll go and check every now and again because we're always on the paths. It's quite a popular walk with local people.
I bet. I bet there's. It sounds like it's probably very picturesque as well. It's exactly the sort of place you would want to sit on a bench and take in the view, right?
Yes, you can see the sea from the walk.
Yeah, absolutely. And brilliant spots for remembrance, which is, of course, what it's all about in the end. And that's why it's worth putting in this energy and effort to make sure that those benches are fit for use. Because, you know, that's what you want, isn't it? That's what they're there for, is to help us remember those people.
Yes, yes, definitely. Yeah. In fact, on the next lower path, the man lost his wife and he installed a bench and he's asked us if we can refurbish it next time we do the lower path. And that won't be that old, I don't think. We're quite happy to do that for him. And then they're all much of a muchness in a way.
Yeah.
And the National Trust at Threave at Castle Douglas, they've gone round and strimmed round the benches because the grass underneath had grown through the benches. So they had strimmed round because it's more of a natural walk than a park walk. It's very, very natural.
It's a good example of lions doing something that actually ends up involving other parts of the ecosystem, if you like. You've got local businesses contributing equipment for free. You've got the National Trust working in partnership as well. You end up with a really useful and fitting memorial, right?
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I could just add, Romilly, that we all actually had fun refurbishing them. You know, it wasn't a chore because we took sandwiches and had lunch there. And it was actually quite fun us getting to know each other, the Lions members. You know, that was a good part of it.
What a brilliant way to spend some time. Thank you, Linda. It sounds like the sort of picture postcard that people should put on their travel map. Details of these Jubilee Path benches will be added to the map of friendship benches nominated by Lions. If anyone listening is interested in visiting the Jubilee Path, it's situated just off the main A710 Dumfries to Dalbeattie Road, or you could enter the words Pounces Beard Dusty into the What Three Words website, which will take you right there. That's all we've got time for on this month's podcast, everyone. So if you enjoyed this episode, do check out the Lion Magazine Summer Special, which can be read online or listened to from www.lionsclubs.co. Don't forget, you can listen to past editions of the Step Forward and Volunteer podcast on the website or on Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. Thanks once again to our guests, Richard and Linda, and a big thank you to you. Take care and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Step Forward and Volunteer. If you want to get involved in local community volunteering, visit www.lionsclubs.co to learn more.